right, LFA, it's time to get up. It's time to rise up, and I want you to sing with me today, okay? Come on.
Wandering into the night, wanting a place to hide this weary soul. This bag of bones. And I try with all my might, but I just can't win the fight.
Get up out of that grave. Get up out of that grave. spirit of prophecy. That means what he did for another.
He can do it for me.
That means what he did for another.
He can do what?
He can do it again.
Okay.
The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. It's the spirit of prophecy. It's the spirit of prophecy. That means what he did for another.
He can do it again.
That means what he did for another. He can do it again.
Oh.
Get up, get up, get up.
What? Get up out of that grave. Does that get me every single time? Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Rise Up right here on LFA TV. Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave. Come on, get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave. Let's go. Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave. I tell you what, Eli. I need a tambourine in here. That's what I need. I need a tambourine in here. I need a harmonica in here. I need some instruments up in here when I'm singing for the Lord in the morning, because I'm dancing around just like David. I'm dancing around just like Brandon Lake that you saw there with his beautiful locks of hair flowing all over the place. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome. God bless each and every single one of you. Thank you for being here with me. We got the campfire roaring. We got the sun rising. We got so many great people in here. Like, let's see. Oh, do we have my daughter in here? Is my daughter in here, Shaylin? I think she is. Good morning, Shaylin. If you're in here, God bless you. Thanks for watching and joining with us to worship and have fellowship with the Lord. Jay Gizmi is in the building. Jessica O'Brien is here. Shop Girl 607 is here. Victory is here. Rockin' Robbins is ready to get on fire for the Lord this morning. Jay Mathis, good to see you. Kelmar, hello. God bless you and thank you for being here. Jennifer Webster, good morning to you. Hopefully you're ready to get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Come on. Oh, good to see you all. Moose for Trump, Tina. God bless you all. Thank you very much. Yep. Joyous days. Morning, Dad. I think that's my daughter. I forgot what her Rumble handle was, but I think that's my daughter. Joyous days. Well, guys, we have a great show lined up today. As always, you want to know why? Because I didn't build it. God did. I didn't build today's show. God did. And we're going to be talking about confirming your calling. Nobody outside of God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and hopefully you know what your calling is. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today, because I'll tell you what, remember that story I told you about when I was working for that distillery as a general manager, and I used to stand there, Shaylin remembers where those days, I used to stand there and look out the window and say, man, and I didn't mean it in a really a conceited way or anything like that, but I remember thinking to myself all the time, I am meant for so much more than this. Whatever it is that I'm doing in life, I'm meant for so much more, and it was a calling. You know that book we read all the time, Jesus Calling? That's what it was. Jesus was calling me even before I believed in him, even before I had faith in him. Jesus was calling me. And you guys know what I'm talking about, especially all of you who it took a while to come to Christ. Like, there was people trying to lead you to Christ, and they were praying for you, and you were just like, you know, you had other priorities, right? So we're going to talk about that today, confirming your calling. We got this beautiful scene behind me. Here, I want to walk off. What I want to do is I want to walk off the set here for a minute. I want to get rid of these lower banners here. I just want to walk off the set for a minute so that we can experience God's beautiful nature behind us. How about that? Let's do that right now. There you go. That is what we get to wake up to, folks. Not all of us. I mean, this is obviously an artificial, edited, digital screen behind me. But so many people get to wake up to this. And if you can't wake up to it, you can walk out and wake up to wherever you are. And I'm sure it is beautiful and wonderful. Because the world and you are beautifully and wonderfully made, and everything has a divine creation, meaning God has a divine reason for creating all of that behind me, and God has a divine reason for creating you. You're not here but just because. Those beautiful mountains and that scenery behind me, it's not here just because. It's here for a reason. And today we're going to be talking about confirming your calling. We're going to talk about confirming our callings today, and we're going to find out how to recognize what our calling is. Some of you might be in your early walk with Jesus, and you don't know what your calling is. We're going to figure it out today, together, here on Rise Up. I also got a great video to show you. And we're going to go through some great scriptures, and we're going to talk about some devotionals here, like Prayers and Promises for Men. This is a book that I read, and if you're a guy out there, this might be a good book for you. If you have a husband or a boyfriend or a son or a brother who's coming, coming to Jesus, or maybe on their walk with Jesus, this is a good book for them. We're also going to be reading from the Bible Promise Book for mornings and evenings. Obviously, we either have our Jesus calling or our Jesus listens. So we're going to be talking a little bit about this today. And we're going to be reading from Living the 66 Books of the Bible. Following, of course, the only thing that we should definitely prioritize, and that is the Bible. The divine inspired word of God. So many years ago, that holds so much relevance still today and will until the end of time, because God is not finite. God is infinite. Amen. All right. We got 1,000 people watching live. I think it's a good time to go to prayer. Please remove your hats if you're wearing one. I get a haircut here in a couple days, actually tomorrow. So please remove your hats if you're wearing one. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll get into the description, but you're going to want to open your Bibles up to 1 Peter, okay? 1 Peter 3-11. That's what we're going to be reading from today. Arthur Nettler, Anna and I have news. We've been trying to buy an old motel just minutes from West Texas for over 2 years. We prayed on this, got a call from the city. They want to meet with us Monday. God bless you, my friend. God is great. I got good news right before the show today, too. I'll give it to you in just a minute. Right now, let's go to prayer. Father God in heaven, what a wonderful treat and opportunity it is every day to wake up and worship you. There's nothing better. There's nothing more important. There's nothing that demands our attention or our time more than you. And it's a blessing that we even have that opportunity, that we have that grace, that we have that salvation through our faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. Today, as we gather for fellowship, Today, as we gather to bask in the light of your word, help us understand the meaning of today's message so much so that we can pass it on to another and share the gospel, not gossip, the way it was intended. We pray that the Holy Spirit is strong with us today and that the Holy Spirit can guide me to teach your word, not only to myself, but also to everybody who's watching, the same way that you used the Holy Spirit during the days of Pentecost. Lord, today we ask that you help us confirm our calling and bring all those outside ears and eyes who have not given you the time that you deserve. We invite them in today. We thank you, Lord, for being here with us. We thank you for guiding us. We thank you for our families. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I just got this thing up on my computer that said, try our AI experience. No thanks. Mary D'Agostino, Shaylin says hello. And of course, you know, Mary has a special place in her heart for all of us. So that's who that is, Mary D'Agostino. We love you very much. Okay. Yeah, no newsletter today. No newsletter today. I do want to give you some good news, though, before we start today. Everybody has a calling. Everybody has a purpose and everybody has a calling. Not all of us have the same purpose. Not all of us have the same calling. Everybody is given different skills, talents, abilities. And because we all play a different part of the Church of Christ. I might be a finger, you might be a toe, this person might be a nose, that person might be an eye or an ear, right? But we all have a different function in the larger body of Christ. So your calling is not my calling. My divine reason for being here is not your divine reason for being here. So I can never tell you you're doing it wrong. And that's the problem with the church today, is there's righteous judgment, but then there's just like God-awful, prideful judgment. You know, like, oh, well, you shouldn't be doing it that way. If God's telling you to do this, then you should be doing this. Guidance is great. Suggestions and advice from fellow believers is needed. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the people that tell you that you're doing it the wrong way when their calling or their divine appointment is different than yours. And the only one that you can go to is our Father God through Jesus Christ with the help and the holding of the hand of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to talk about trying to get there today. Now, my calling, at least for right now, is to do Rise Up. My calling is to... I had to stop right there because I just saw Annette. She said, Sean Farish is the foot. He hates feet. Nice inside joke. But my calling is to be public with God's word and be loud, because I'm good at being loud. And I'm really good at not caring what other people think about me so much. But my calling is also to encourage and to lift up. And often I use my ability and my talent for the wrong thing. Like sometimes instead of encouraging, I discourage because of the way of my tone and stuff like that. But I'm learning. But God has given me the ability to do what I'm doing. Now, I know that there's more for me. I know that there's more for me. There's always more for you when you're on a journey with Jesus. I know that this is not the end all be all of what God wants me to do. God brought me to Iowa for a reason. And he's got different plans for each one of my children. He's got a different plan for my mother, my father, and all of you. But if you're constantly knocking on the door of salvation, if you're constantly seeking God, then that divine appointment will always change. The minute that you feel stale in your spirituality, you got to get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave. Come on, get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave. You've got to. And unfortunately, for the people that loved, you know, loved us back in New Hampshire and being there with them all together in New Hampshire, my divine calling brought me here because I felt stale in what God had called me to do. Now, I don't know if you guys can tell, but I seem a lot more lively since being here. And it's not because of some magic potion or not because I'm getting something that I didn't have in New Hampshire, because I've really not done much since I've been here. I still have to meet up with Chris and Julie Green. I've not done that. I still have to give thank you cards back to my neighbors who brought us cookies and stuff. I've not done that. Tonight is the first night I'm actually going out with family because we tried to get here and set everything back up without skipping a beat. The reason why I feel so much more full of life is because I listened to what God told me to do. And I had blind faith. I did not know why. I had a little bit of an inclination of why to come here. But being here has lifted me up in a way. I mean, even with sacrificing and loss of things that were there, it is lifting me up in a way that I haven't felt in some time. And it's because I listened and I followed. Jesus said, I'm calling again. And I said, I hear you this time. Now I'm not going to wait years and go, maybe, maybe not, maybe so. I hear you. Joy is filling in my heart because I listened to the calling. Ethich says, good point. Moving water is living water versus stagnant is dead. That is a great analogy. That's great perception to compare moving and living waters to still and dead water. Jessica O'Brien, happy birthday to your son, Gabriel. Please let him know that we said, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Gabriel. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, buddy. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to ask for some shares. I'm going to ask for some rumbles. I'm going to ask for some activity in the live viewership because we're on fire for the Lord today, and we're going to dive deep right now into Scripture. So please open up your Bibles to 1 Peter, and I'll give you some time to get there, and we're going to go right to verse 3, and we're going to read all the way through verse 11, okay? 1 Peter, verse 3 through 11. Now, this is titled, Confirm Your Calling and Your Election. Think about that. You've been elected, not by people here to represent them here. Maybe that's your calling, but in a much higher calling, in a much more prioritized way of looking at things, you've been elected by heaven. You've been elected by God. You've been elected by the Holy Spirit. You've been elected by Jesus Christ himself to represent him in this world, much like you're elected. When you run for Congress, you represent the people that elected you in Congress. God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, the triune, the Trinity, has elected you to represent them here on earth. That is what the whole thing is about, on heaven, on earth as in heaven. That's what that means. You are, when I say you're a representative, like Bad Moon says, be a billboard for God, you are a representative. You're elected by divine and heavenly figures to represent them here on earth. Don't fall into corruption by not doing it properly. Represent them righteously and properly, the way we're supposed to represent our constituents here on earth when we get elected into a political seat, and which often does not happen. Now, you don't want to be part of the swamp, do you? You don't want to be part of Satan's swamp, do you? There's the DC swamp that's very reminiscent of another swamp in hell. Corrupt individuals who are given into their sexual desires and fornicating with each other, both men and women with each other. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, the DC swamp is the same as hell. It's Satan's swamp. Do you, now, looking at it in a spiritual, because this is a war between spirit, you know, evil and good. If you're an elected position, elected by the divine appointment of God to represent heaven here on earth, and you don't, You're part of the swamp. Drain the swamp. Drain Satan's swamp. That's what we got to think. That's how we got to think of it. Every time we are not representing God, our Father in heaven, the way he's elected us to, and I'm guilty of it just like you are, then we are part of the swamp. And I don't want to be a part of the swamp, do you? I know I don't. Kittenhead, thank you so much. Jeremy, here's some money to take your family out tonight. God bless you, your family. May God use you to bring them closer to God. In Jesus' name, amen. My father and my sister and stepmother are coming over tonight, so we're going to go out for dinner. It's the first time we're going out anywhere outside of us just going to stores and, you know, up to drive around and find out how we get around places around here. So I thank you very much for that. Very much. It's very much appreciated. Jay Gizme says, no way, no swamp creature here. River Rat says, the swamp stinks. It sure does. To high heaven, right? All the way to high heaven. The swamp stinks, and I don't want to be a part of it. Let's get into scripture right now, okay? Here we go. Confirm your calling, confirm your election. I'm going to read from verse 3 here. You ready? And I'm reading from ESV, okay? His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in this world because of sinful desire. Boom. I just read 3 and 4. Now we're going all the way to 11. So let's break this down. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. I pulled up the definition of godliness. I'd like to read that for you. The quality or practice of conforming to the laws and wishes of God. Devoutness and moral uprightness. To be wise is to live in godliness, reflecting the nature of the kingdom of God in the course of your everyday life. That is what godliness means. So just mirroring what the Holy Spirit is pulling on you to do, to say, to act, to decide. And it says, through all of this, if you do this, you're going to be granted knowledge, glory, excellence, promises that God has promised since before you were even thought of on this earth, far before, before the earth was even formed. And it says, if you partake in this divine nature, ready? You will have escaped from the corruption that is in this world. So if you're escaping the corruption from in this world, then you are draining the swamp. You're getting out of the swamp. You're escaping Satan's corruption. Now let's go on to verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and then your knowledge, self-control. Now you know. Now there's no excuse. Thank you, Patty, for the $20 donation. We really appreciate that. That's going to help out a lot. Thank you so much, okay? God bless you and your family. It says, once God gives you the knowledge, because you're partaking in his divine nature, and he gives you knowledge that people would kill for, I hate to use that term, but he gives you this knowledge that not everybody knows, he then wants you to use it to have self-control. You hear that, LGBTQ community? You're not born gay. You're born with a desire to be gay. Have self-control. You're not born a liar. You're born with the desire to lie. Don't be a liar. Have self-control. You're not born angry. So don't become angry. Use the knowledge that God gives you and get away from that anger, Jeremy, right? We're not born something. We're born with the desire to do something, to be a part of something, to partake in something. But deeper than that fleshly desire is your heart's desire to seek God. So listen a little deeper. Look a little deeper than the surface of your flesh. Get into your heart and seek God. It's that simple. Now, self-control. And then self-control with steadfastness and steadfastness with godliness, which we just described. And godliness then to brotherly affection. Now what you're doing is spreading that gospel. You see how it gives you in a row what you're going to start gaining? Now you have brotherly affection with love. Now you're reaching out to other people with love. Now you're spreading the word of God. You're spreading the gospel. You're trying to plant seeds, and you're doing it not because you're not doing it the right way. You're not a Christian. That is not what that says. You're doing it with love. You're doing it like Ray Comfort does it. You're doing it with an open mind and an open heart, but always, always staying on that course of spreading the gospel. Sorry about that. So, as you can see, every time you go on the next step with Jesus, God gives you something else in the way of knowledge. And then you're going to use that knowledge and you're going to apply it, and great things are going to happen. Okay? What I'm doing right now is bringing you through the steps that you need to take to confirm your calling. If you do the things that I'm reading right now from God, not my instructions, if we all do these things, then we can expect exactly what that word of God tells us to expect. And we're getting to the point where we're going to be able to confirm our calling and go, that's what God wants me to do. Maybe I'm a nurse. Maybe I'm a doctor. Maybe my skill is rallying people and encouraging people. Maybe my skill is calming people down and nurturing people. Maybe my skill is teaching people. Everybody has a different calling. You know what it is. You know what it is the minute you ask God for it. Will you receive the answer? That is the question. God will tell you right now. Ask him. Ask God what your divine nature is and your divine purpose is. Ask God what your calling is, what you've been elected to do. He'll tell you right away. It's the people that don't receive it, that are selling themselves short and selling God way short. You understand? You need to receive it daily too. It's not something you go, oh yeah, good, I'll go do that. Yeah, okay, now tomorrow's another day. And God might want you to do something else. And then the next day is another day. And every day leads to another day. And you cross different bridges when you come to them. It's the daily acceptance of where God wants you to be. Your calling isn't, here, there's your calling, and it's done. Thanks for the calling. See you later. The calling is constant. And it's ever-changing. But what God called you to do this time will get you ready for what God calls you to do the next time. So you'll still use those talents. You'll still use those skills. Just not for that specific adventure. That's what I like to call them. I'm on an adventure right now. Let's move on. Verse 8. For if these qualities, steadfastness, self-control, affection, brotherly affection, virtue, knowledge, if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Basically, a hedge of protection around you giving into desires to make stupid decisions, folks. And we all make them. Let's stop making them. Amen? For whoever lacks these qualities, so for the people out there that are not embracing these qualities to lead them to their daily calling. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. And that right there, ladies and gentlemen, that right there is what Jesus, or what Satan tries to exploit. He tries to make you blind every time. Oh, I'm sorry. It's not 1 Peter, guys. I'm sorry. It's 2 Peter 3. I'm so sorry. And everybody was confused. I am so sorry. Everybody go to 2 Peter, not 1 Peter. I apologize. Thank you, Tina, and thank you, Army Dog. Let the beautiful spirit flow. How could I have gotten that wrong? 2 Peter, I am so sorry, guys. I'll let you go over to 2 Peter now. And we just read verse 8. So I'll let you get there while I take a drink. Hear this. Here Jeremy is just leading people down the wrong path. All right. Verse 10. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and your election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fail. Say that again. Because I don't like to fail. You guys like to fail? I don't like to fail. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fail. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you read 2 Peter, verse 3 through 11, you will know how to find your calling. That's it. It's not a mystery. God has revealed it to all of us through his word. If somebody gives you, look, you get out in your car right now. Say you go to the next state over and you've never been to where you're going. What do? You pull up Google Maps or GPS or Garmin or whatever you have that guides you, and you blindly follow what this stupid machine tells you to do. Take a right here into this pond. Okay. Take a left here into this bridge embankment. Okay. People just blindly follow what a machine tells them to do. Because it gives them the roadmap. There's your roadmap, folks. 2 Peter, verse 3 through 11. That's your roadmap. 2 Peter 1, 3 through 11. 2 Peter 1, 3 through 11. I don't know how I got that wrong today. Maybe because it was 2 Peter 1, I thought 1 Peter, verse 3 through 11. Have a wonderful day, Kittenhead. God bless you. So we got the roadmap, folks. There it is. We know what to do. We know how to go. We know what road to take. We know what qualities to show. We know what things to accept daily. And if we do these things, and now you may not be ready to do these things. You may not be ready. Keep praying. Keep asking us to pray for you if you're not ready. But if you are ready, then it's very easy. Just do those things. Apply that roadmap into your life for a month. Just a month. And tell me if that month wasn't better than the last month that you just lived through. Because it will be. It's 100% foolproof. Your life will be better. Jeremy, later you should read 1 Peter and see if there was a message in there for you. Maybe so. Maybe that's what God was trying to tell me. Maybe there's a message in there. I am so sorry I got that verse wrong. 2 Peter 1, verse 3 through 11. Not 1 Peter, verse 3 through 11. Tina says, my Bible is my map. Amen. All right, so let's read through 2 Peter. If 2 Timothy represents the last words of Paul, then 2 Peter does the same for the Apostle Peter, one of the Lord's original disciples. He too was executed in Rome during the reign of Nero. That makes his words all the more precious. His chapters deal with the three final issues he wanted to emphasize. Chapter 1 is devoted to the vitality of our individual faith. He wanted us to be even more diligent to grow in Christ. And that is 2 Peter 1 through 10. His second chapter sounds a lot like the book of Jude. It's a warning against heretics. And his final chapter looks forward to the return of Christ, a subject never far from his thoughts. It should never be far from ours either. Students of biblical prophecy view 2 Peter 3 as crucial to our understanding of the events related to the second coming. But more than that, Peter wants us to live today in the light of tomorrow's promises. Quote, "Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of a persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace without spot." Because he washes us clean. Think of our Lord's return often, but don't just relegate it to a future event. Consider its immediate implications. If you had important guests coming over tomorrow, what would you do to prepare for them now? Let's live as those who expect our Lord to come over tomorrow or even today. Amen, huh? What a read that was. Just reading some of your comments here. Thank you. Guidance. Psalm 25, 5. "Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long." You want to know what comes with acceptance every day for your calling and confirming your calling and guidance every day? Comes, you know, what you shouldn't be doing. And you can't get mad at that. You can't turn your nose up at that. You can't go, "Well, maybe I'll continue to keep doing that." If you're convicted about something, you got to stop now. Or you got to make your best effort anyways. Proverbs 1:5. "Wise people can also listen and learn. Even they can find good advice in these words." Proverbs 16:9. "We can make our own plans, but the Lord determines our steps. And if we listen to him, you end up in Iowa." Yes, he is the David Jeremiah is the author of the 66 books. Yep. And Romans 8:14, "Those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God." Who get all those promises and knowledge from God that he promises. Okay, I got a video to show you today. And this is a young kid who went and decided he was going to, his calling was to spread the gospel at a pride parade. Let's see how it goes for him. Roll it.
Hollywood Boulevard, but not for a regular day on Hollywood Boulevard. We are here at the LA Pride Parade on Hollywood Boulevard. Again, same goal as last time, just sharing Jesus and introducing people to Jesus and who he is. It's going to be amazing, but just tying my shoes in case we got to book it. My friend Gabe behind the camera, which if you guys have been watching the videos for a long time, Gabe has filmed all the original videos and he's back behind the camera today because Josh broke his ankle. It's an awesome throwback, and no better way to have a throwback than go to the Pride Parade with Gabe. So it's going to be fun. We're going to have a great day, share Jesus. It's going to be good. Insanely packed right now. How's it going? I'm Bryce. Nice to meet you.
Allende.
Allende. Nice to meet you. Where are you from?
L.A. Born and raised.
What's going on here? Tell everyone what's going on, what's happening.
Well, this is the L.A. Pride Block Party.
What is love to you?
But it starts internally with loving yourself to then be able to be the fullest version of you with another person, with the world, with just ambition, passion, and all the things that make us human.
Yeah, and where did you get this definition of love? Where did you start learning what love was to you?
Just life experiences.
Yeah.
Usually through learning what love was not.
Okay.
Be a heartbreak or old friendships or watching the world in the state that it's in right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I was on this quest of learning love like for like such a long time. I'm from Georgia. I moved here like 2 years ago, and I had so many people tell me what love was, and I had this hole in my heart trying to find love. That was like my biggest identity issue, was I was like trying to feel loved and trying to feel accepted and seen, and I would try different things to see if that felt like love, and it never worked. And at least for me personally, Jesus became my definition of love. Do you know about Jesus, or do you have any history with Jesus? What does your history look like with Jesus?
I was born into a non-denominational Christian church, been baptized, and currently go to Faithful Central Bible Church. I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's a worldwide mega church. I am pansexual.
Okay, what does that mean? I don't know what that means, so explain.
It is the truest sense of loving people. And it extends beyond the gender, like, binary.
What do you think Christianity says about pride and being pansexual and or even being a furry? Like, what do you think Christianity says about that?
My relationship with Christianity and my sexuality is rocky, because I've been told that being a cisgender heterosexual person is God's will, per se. So coming to terms with that has had its rough patches.
Yeah, I used to hate growing up when people told me what to do with my life. Especially I had this bitter taste with Christianity, because it felt like, okay, all these people are saying this is what God's telling me what to do. They're telling me to do what God's telling me to do, but then they're not even doing what they're telling me to do. So it's like, why would I listen to these guys?
Yeah.
But what I came to realize is, in John 1, Jesus is described as the Word. So the Word would also be the Bible, right? So it's saying, like, Jesus isn't just telling us what to do, like, he lived it. And when I look at that and I say, okay, these people may have misrepresented Jesus to me, but Jesus is a good father. And if God knows what's best for me, it's like a father. Like, I listen to my dad, not because I have to, but because I want to. Because I'm like, okay, my dad loves me. He cares about me. He knows what's best for my life. Because I feel like the most attacks I've had in my life were on my identity and how I viewed myself. And I feel like I wasn't able to receive God's love for me because I didn't know how I viewed myself. And I feel like that God is just trying to look at you, Ayinda, and saying, like, you'll never stop being my boy. You know, that's what Jesus says, like, you'll never stop being my little boy. And I realized that. I was like, man, I'll never graduate from being his little boy. And it was so powerful and so freeing. God made us man and woman, and to unite us together to become one. Would it be okay if I prayed for you? Would that be okay? Could I take your hand and pray for you? Jesus, thank you for Ayinda. God, I thank you for allowing us to meet. God, I just pray that you bless him. God, I thank you that you allowed us to interact. Jesus, reveal yourself to him in dreams and visions. Continue to send people his way that reveal your heart to him. In Jesus' name, amen. It's really important for us to know who we are in Jesus, because if we know who we are in Jesus, then we can receive his love and see Jesus rightly. But if we don't know who Jesus is and the truth, then, I mean, the Bible talks about it, in the last days, there's going to be perversion and doctrine that will tickle people's ears, and people will want to listen to what they want to hear versus the truth. That's what happens in the last days. And we're in the days in which there's doctrine, and people want to suck up to what they think is true and what they think is right and what they just want to hear. And the reality is in order for us to be transformed and have a heart transformation, we need to be able to humble ourselves and understand that the truth is what sets us free, and the truth gives us clarity about ourselves and who God is. And we need to be able to humble ourselves and receive the truth so that we can be able to see God rightly. Because a lot of these things, not just people in the gay community, but a lot of communities that harbor hatred towards God actually don't hate God. They hate a misrepresentation of him. And so if we can see Jesus rightly, it would change everything. And so this is encouragement for you to go in the streets, be the living light, because Jesus is the light and he lives inside of you. And when you can encourage people and point them to the true Jesus and who he is, then you will drastically change your heart, drastically change your life, and you will allow people to see Jesus rightly for the first time in their life. You could be the first experience for someone to see Jesus rightly for the first time. So it's very important for us to do that for others. What do you think about Jesus?
He's the best.
He's the best.
Yeah.
Are you a Christian?
Kinda?
Yeah.
What about you?
I am. I became a Christian 3 years ago.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I was super depressed and anxious, uh-huh. and I had an encounter with Jesus one night, and it changed my life.
Oh, that's good.
Have you ever heard the gospel?
No.
No, do you know, you want me to share the gospel with you? It's two minutes.
What's that?
Well, there's a lot of bad in the world, right? There's a lot of bad and wickedness. It's called sin. And the Bible says sin separates us from God. Uh-huh. And all God wants is relationship with us. And so because of sin, we deserve death. That's like a murderer. If a murderer stabs someone, they go on trial and they deserve prison. The same way, because of our sin, we deserve to die. But Jesus loves us. Jesus is God, came to earth, lived a perfect life, died on the cross for all of our sins. So Jesus died the death that you and I deserve so that we can live in him. And he resurrected 3 days later from the dead. Crazy. The Bible says to deny ourselves and pick up our cross and follow him. And that means deny what feels right to us, deny the way that seems right to us. Can I pray for you really quick? Can I put a hand on you? Jesus, thank you for Danny, God. Thank you for interacting us together. God, I just pray that you will send people his way to show him more of you, Jesus. Send people that represent your heart to him. God, we thank you for him. Bless him in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Stay safe.
Thank you, brother.
Did you mess up your right knee?
My right knee?
Yeah.
How do you know?
The Holy Spirit was speaking to me. Does it hurt right now?
I hurt my knee like playing soccer.
Yeah, can I pray for it? Here, watch this. I won't even touch your knee. Ready? In Jesus' name. Knee be healed right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Move it around.
Yeah.
Does it feel better?
Yeah. But how do you know about that?
Because Jesus just told me. Here's the reality, Danny. Jesus loves you so much. I can tell you all about Jesus, but if Jesus shows up, he'll reveal himself to you. I couldn't have known that unless Jesus told me. Because Jesus
crazy,
is God.
That's crazy.
Yeah, bro. He really loves you, man.
Yeah.
That's it. Relationship with Jesus. Don't follow religion. Follow Jesus Christ. Are you from LA?
Pretty much, yeah.
Born and raised? Or?
No. Moved here in 71 from Australia. So why are you talking to me?
Well, I just wanted to tell you Jesus loves you.
That's what I had assumed you were going to say. I was raised in an extremely religious family.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much by the time I was 16, I decided I was an atheist.
Uh-huh.
And I still am.
Uh-huh.
And nothing is going to change my mind.
Yeah.
So I love you.
Oh, it's okay. I'm not even trying to change your mind. Wait,
fine. Wait.
I'd love. Okay. Bless you. He didn't want to talk. Atheist. He said nothing was going to change his mind. And he just walked away. Sometimes you don't get to share with everyone. Hey, what's your name?
My name's Luna.
Nice to meet you, Luna. What do you mean when you say, like, Jesus loves you in a gay way?
I'm just kind of trolling you guys.
Yeah. Have you had a bad hurt with Christianity?
Have I what?
Like, what's your experience with Christianity that made you make this sign?
I was a Christian for like 20 years. A lot of stuff happened. I'm not talking about it right now.
Okay, yeah, it's totally okay. I was just curious. Yeah, I'm personally a Christian myself. Can I share my story with you? Would that be okay?
Sure.
It'd be super quick.
Yeah,
I used to struggle with anxiety and depression. Grew up in the South, a lot of churches. People telling me what to do with my life, but they weren't doing what they were telling me to do, so I thought they were hypocrites. Had a bad taste in my mouth with God. Even went to a private Christian school. Depression and anxiety feels like an incurable disease. And I had an encounter with Jesus an hour before I was going to take my life. And all I said was, God, if you're real, take away my anxiety and depression. Because I'm like, I can't take it away. Since that day, I've had no more anxiety or depression. And so I realized, I was like, man, all these things that I was trying to fill this hole in my heart, Jesus became my definition of love. Because I was like, I feel like there's no greater offering of love than to lay your life down for someone. Like if you and I were crossing the street, Luna, and a car was about to hit you, I saw it and you didn't, even though we just met, and I shoved you out of the way, and I got hit by the car, you would probably say, man, that man really loves me, even though we've never met. And I was like, yeah, sure, Jesus has never met me physically, like the real Jesus standing right here, but him dying on the cross shows me that he loves both you and I, Luna. Would it be okay? Like, I won't make a scene, it won't look weird if I pray for you really quick. It'll just look like we're talking. Would that be okay? I just want to bless you.
You've been pretty respectful.
Yeah, could I take your hand? Would that be okay? Jesus, thank you for Luna, God. I just thank you for allowing her to let me talk to you. And thank you, Jesus, God. I just pray that you'll send people to reveal your heart to her in a kind way. God, I thank you that you love Luna and that you see her. God, I just pray that you'll reveal yourself and your love to her in dreams and visions. And God, I just pray that Luna won't make her judgment off of how people have misrepresented you to her, but that she'll meet the real you one day. So Jesus, thank you for Luna, and we bless her in Jesus' name. Amen.
I think something is out there.
Yeah.
I may not know what it is, but you might say anybody is willing to reveal.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I just want to encourage you too. Like, I had so many people misrepresent Jesus to me. I don't know your story, so I don't know to the extent of how bad you were hurt by Christians. But when I had that encounter with Jesus, I realized it didn't matter how God had been misrepresented to me. There was still a true Jesus out there that loved me and that saw me all those times I was hurting. And I believe that he's still out there for you too. Yeah, yeah, it was great to talk to you. Bless you, Luna. Jesus really loves you, Luna, and I hope people show you that. Yeah, bless you, Luna. People were coming up to me today and saying, Bryce, I was born gay. No one is born gay. We're born into sin. And this doesn't have to do just with homosexuality. This is everything. People say, oh, well, I was born this, and I was born with this issue, and I was born with this. No, we were born into sin. And sometimes it seems like, oh, this is a hopeless scenario, but the hope is that Jesus Christ can save us from our hopelessness, no matter what. Jesus is the hope, and Jesus can save it. And we can look to Jesus as the author and perfecter of our faith. God isn't some sky father that's distant away from us, that's trying to force us to do what he wants us to do. In John 1, Jesus became the Word. And that means that Jesus wasn't just telling us what to do with our lives, but he was living it, giving us an example to follow. So when people come to you and say, I have issues with religion, tell people, no, don't follow religion. Follow Jesus Christ.
Amen. Now that kid's name is Bryce Crawford, okay? Bryce Crawford. I'll pull up his channel here and put it on the screen. That's his channel right there, Bryce Crawford, okay? He's on YouTube. He's got about as many followers as we do here on Rumble, and I'm going to be showing a lot more of him in the future. Bryce Crawford. Well, ladies and gentlemen, unfortunately, that brings us to the end of our show here, and I say that because
right, and now it's
I say that because I wish we could do Rise Up all day. I really love this show so much. I wish we could do it all day. Maybe someday, right? Anyway, what we're gonna do right now, ladies and gentlemen, we're gonna take you out the same way we brought you in, with some great music. Get up out of that grave. I thank the Savior. I thank God. Thank you for being here today. Find your calling, because you've been elected. Mike Crispy Unafraid comes up next, followed by 2 hours of Live from America. I love you guys. Have a great morning. See you later. I thank the Savior because he healed my heart.